This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Oh, is back Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We got Magic Mac Robinson on the board. We got Sweet Young Thang. Jax Gregory behind the glass. We got Meredith Kane in the 2020s. Hi, how you doing? Happy almost Thanksgiving.
Did you forget Jax's name? What happened there?
No, there was just a delay because I was like, what am I going to say after Jax's name? Oh, yeah. When I did 2020 and then a Thanksgiving thing. And then football.
We call him Jax Judkins around these parts.
We
these
do.
Days.
That's what we do. Yeah. Yeah. Don't you forget about that. Not that we talk about that.
People
allegedly.
Don't forget.
People don't forget.
How we doing? We ready for Thanksgiving?
I am. I'm always ready. I will say, I don't know what's going on with me. I'm not as excited as I normally am for the holidays this season. So there's something broken deep within me.
Sure.
But other than I'm still pretty excited for the holidays.
They don't count as real holidays to me. They're a nice time off. It's good to be with family.
Why not? Why are they not real holidays?
I don't know. Maybe I'm in the same spot you're at. Maybe I'm just not. I'm not festive enough for it right now.
What's a real holiday?
Christmas is a real holiday. Okay. Easter is a real holiday. Okay. There's the heavy hitters.
Uh-huh.
Thanksgiving's been trying to listen. Thanksgiving never fights for itself. Why am I going to try to fight for Thanksgiving this year?
But, you know, see, here's the
never
thing.
Never fights for itself.
Here's the thing. Thanksgiving is the most understated of all the holidays. That's also what might make it the best. I've got 1,000 bad Christmas movies to find the 5 good ones that are out there.
Sure.
All right? With Thanksgiving, I got Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and we don't talk about anything else. Don't have to, because we have the perfect movie.
I don't have to. I just watch 10 straight hours of football.
And, well, see, but to me, that's the other big thing. I'll be honest with you, Christmas Day basketball in the NBA.
Oh, it's not it anymore. Christmas is now the NFL. It used to be Christmas Day, NBA, and Chinese food for myself when I was single and I was living in cities where I didn't have family around, because no one travels for Thanksgiving, by the way. But it's not it anymore.
I don't have the tradition, though, of watching sports on Christmas. That, to me, is a day that is reserved for just family, not distractions. The great thing about Thanksgiving.
I guess I always live with distractions.
All 3 days, and yes, we celebrate this bad boy all 3 days. The best thing about it is that family willingly says football is not a distraction. It's part of the thing.
Can I give you a semi hot take that I don't mean to be a hot take? It's just my life existence, because this is how this works around here.
You may.
I always got more into Black Friday than I did Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
Like, all my core memories growing up is like waiting in line, jostling at like Best Buy to fight for a little bit of a deal on a TV. Like, that's my holiday is not spent around Thanksgiving eating turkey or anything with my family.
That's a village in orange origin story, by the way.
Jostling. Well, I think we know why I'm more cheap later on in life. Is it was jostling for deals at Best Buy growing up as a kid, waiting in line at 5 a.m. with my mom so we could just save a couple bucks, because we loved a good deal.
Like,
still love a good deal.
We're not hosting this year, but we do, because our house is just too small. Hopefully again next year, should we buy a house next year, we'll see. But we're still going. We got Mama's in the morning, then we got her family side in the afternoon. Like, man, it's perfect. And by the way, the 3 days off after which again, a sign of my privilege in life, I mean, it's a four-day weekend, and it starts with all the food, and then you spend the next 3 days echoing the first day of it.
You think it's odd that we get the day after Thanksgiving off because it gets Thursday and Friday?
No,
but then,
I don't.
No, but then we Christmas is the middle of the week this year.
The boss is in the room. Don't ruin this for me.
No, I'm complaining about Christmas. Give me a second. Christmas is a Wednesday, so we just have Christmas off, and that's it? There's no lead up to Christmas off. There's no post Christmas. We just have Christmas this
year. Unless it falls on the weekend, then we get the extra day off either before or after.
Yeah, but a Wednesday is screwing so many people up in this equation. Yeah. Like you do realize we'll be working Christmas Eve, and then we'll be working after Christmas Day. I think you're actually off that
day. Yes, you will.
Yeah, I think
you will be.
He turned it into his own holiday.
It's called forethought, okay? I've been addicted to these four-day Thanksgiving holidays, so now I'm turning Christmas into a five-day holiday this year. And then blaming it on pretty much everybody else. Because it's like, I mean, everybody's putting stuff on Monday. Guess I have to take the day off. All rats. I actually am super excited.
Yeah.
We're doing our own turkey after Thanksgiving because everybody gobbled up all the really good food for the other two holidays. So I'm going to make a Thanksgiving turkey this weekend. But we're going to have a lot of Thanksgiving talk. We got a lot of Ohio State. Initially, we're going to lead Ohio State, Michigan. And Phelps kind of clued us in on this. I have no idea how this is not been found by anyone, but Jason Lockenfora for the Washington Post wrote an article on the big coaching names out there. This is 3 days ago. Now, doesn't say a lot about the Cleveland Browns, but he does go into Mike Vrabel and basically talks about how Vrabel would be in very serious contention here if the Browns let Stefanski go. But the most interesting part of this entire thing is a parenthetical in the middle of this Mike Vrabel thing where it goes, some coaches and executives who know Stefanski think he'd be cool getting out of that cesspool now, being home for the holidays, and getting to prepare for future interviews elsewhere. Seems kind of like a bombshell there.
Seems like it should have been the lead.
Yeah, for like every show all week.
Where was this?
Also, where was this? How is this the thing coming off the Pittsburgh game, which I think is really interesting?
Like, well, okay,
did Jason write it like last Wednesday night and then released it this week? I'm just curious.
Does Stefanski see what we all see, that there's no out for next year? And now he's putting together the idea. Yeah, he's making a lot of money. He'll continue to make a lot of money with another team. But if they just run this thing back and continue running this thing back next year, they're not in a position to have a deep postseason run. The reason why they traded for Deshaun Watson, Nick, was simple. It's because Stefanski wanted to play for titles. He doesn't want to play to be a 500 head coach. He wants deep postseason runs. And I think he's hip to the idea that he's not going to be able to do it here.
All right. Can I be entirely honest about this? I'm having trouble taking it at face value.
You just don't believe Lockenfora.
Well, I don't think Jason would ever admit this because reporters don't admit this kind of stuff. Jason
That's a dangerous accusation you're going to make.
Then I'll make it.
Make it.
Jason very clearly has an axe to grind with these Cleveland Browns. He was incredibly critical of the Deshaun Watson trade. He has never stopped being critical of the Deshaun trade.
It used to be, Nick, when we did the pregame shows years ago, it used to be, what is Lockenfora going to say on Sunday?
Yeah, but that's when they were truly a cesspool. So part of me is like, part of me is really having trouble. Like, when he refers to it as cesspool, is that what those coaches and executives that allegedly know Stefanski are saying, or is that Jason editorializing his own work because he works in Baltimore and doesn't like the Browns organization?
Well, also,
like, I feel a weird thing to protect the Browns organization here against a guy who clearly is not unbiased on the subject.
It's good you put the guardrails up because that's not the accusation I thought you were going to say, too, by the way. I thought you were just going to flat out say he was just making it up. That's what I thought you were going to do.
Been an accusation against Jason. I have not made that.
That's what I thought you were going to do.
I mean, La Conferma was his nickname for a lot of, that's a real thing. Like, I know a couple reporters who've said, like, Jason La Conferma was what they called him, where he would be like, he's the Danny Shelton jump on pile guy. Again, Jason has always been very kind to me. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm not trying to run him down, but in this case, you do have to point out what appears to be a bias.
Well,
right?
Let's play with this too. Some coaches and executives who know Stefanski think he'd be cool getting out of that cesspool now, being home for the holiday. That doesn't mean Stefanski's saying that. That means he could have talked to a coach or a GM in Tampa and been like, hey, what do you think about Stefanski? Well, if I was Stefanski, I'd want to be home for the holidays preparing for new interviews. And then he just goes with it. The person could not know Stefanski at all. The person could be Related to Stefanski, I mean, for all we know.
It does say some coaches and executive who know Stefanski, but I think you're right to the sliding scale of no Kevin Stefanski. One shared a coffee in Indianapolis at the Combine 20 years ago, and the same thing is...
Do they know Stefanski or do they know Stefanski?
But I mean, I do... Okay, I don't know how you read this, but this is how I read it. That if Kevin thought, I'm going to get fired at the end of the season, if he felt like that was fait accompli, which he's never given anyone indication that that's the case... But if he felt that way, well, I'd rather get fired now, have 6 weeks to recharge, and then and be able to attack the coaching market in real time. Which I think, honestly, is just common sense. I don't think that's the same thing as Kevin Stefanski wants out of Cleveland. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, I think the reason why I'm so interested in the report is because I could see a scenario where Stefanski would want out of Cleveland.
Yeah, which is like...
Like, this is not gone, I would imagine, the way that he thought it would go. Yes, he's a bona fide head coach. So going from an offensive coordinator to head coach, check. You've accomplished that part of your career. But I think, in my heart of hearts, I believe Stefanski thinks he's like an all-time great at this. And I don't know that you'd settle for 500 record, one playoff win in 5 years. And according to, if you want to believe what everyone tells you, apparently Stefanski's got zero control over anything.
Yeah, that's, so I think what's weird is... Because, listen, I think a lot of the media narrative around Kevin has been created by Kevin through just being a good dude behind the scenes and treating people the right way. And so I think there's a lot of pro-Stefanski narratives that I, and I think you've done the same thing, which I kind of poke back on, this idea that he has no blame on the Deshaun Watson thing is wild. This idea that he didn't have any say on Baker not being here anymore is wild. And... That actually is brilliant PR craftsmanship. He's the head coach of the NFL, so he might not have as much power as, like, who do you think has the most power of any head coach in the NFL? It used to be Belichick. That was an easy one. I say Andy.
I typically say Andy Reid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, 90% of coaches don't have the power that Andy Reid has. That doesn't mean that he has no power at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's been like the thing there. But again, I think that's the idea. Well, it's not Kevin's fault where this team is 5 years in, and he should get out of there because he deserves better than that. That's a little too cutesy for me when he's the head coach of the team.
But think about it, though. It's not even that. It's the idea that this team right now is very directionless. We don't know where they're going. Like, when I ask guests or you ask guests, hey, what's the plan for next year? Are they going to try to win games? Are they going to try to lose games? We have no answer to that, Nick. And so if we don't have an answer to it, I don't think Stefanski has an answer to it. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine the people that believe that he's safe for this year, and I am a part of that group, you probably wonder, you start next year, he's on the hot seat for sure. So if there's a job out there that is appetizing to him, and this is why I said with the Eagles job, if the Eagles job were open, it's not going to be open now because Sirianni's coached his way into being the guy for a little bit here with this hot stretch. But there was 3-4 weeks ago where it's like, yeah, I could see Stefanski saying, I want a new start in Philadelphia. For sure I could.
What's interesting about that is, because I actually want to take it in a different direction, I think this is all related. The idea of that the Browns are still the cesspool, I think that's all related to going back to when Stefanski was hired, where the thought on this job was the head coach will have no power. And in reality, it's just other people have more power. And I don't mean more power than Kevin. I mean more power than traditionally. Like Paul De Podesta being lead strategist of something, of San Diego. I don't even know what the hell his title is. But I think that's playing into this. I think trying to sell dysfunction in Berea is something that is, well, he... Because, listen, the reason why I think it could be that is...
Well, it's not great right now.
Well, no, but I'm talking about the inner workings of working for Jimmy Haslam and whether it's better than it was 5 years ago when they took over. Because I can see a scenario. If this is true, and again, it's very pro not holding the head coach accountable if you say he has no power. But if it's true that Kevin took the job knowing he'd have less power than most NFL head coaches... I can see a coach saying, 5 years from now, if I have won a playoff game and been to the playoffs twice, I'll have more power. So I could understand if in 5 years he doesn't have more power and he thinks he should have more, and he feels like part of the reason you've had inconsistency is it's too many cooks in the kitchen. I think that is another way to read this that I think is highly possible.
Or he just doesn't like the setup. He doesn't like the setup, doesn't like the direction, doesn't know where this is going, and frankly doesn't want to put the his whole entire career in the hands of Haslam and everyone else who's already entrusted for 5 years. He's in a much different spot, Nick, than when he was when he took the job from him being an offensive coordinator in Minnesota.
You mean where he was nobody's first choice but the Browns?
Yeah, he's got options now, Nick, and I think he knows he's got options. And if you have options, why would you hang around this situation unless you truly love it? And according to Lock and Fora, people that he talked to, we don't know how close they are with Stefanski, but he'd be cool with getting out of it.
Some level of 6 degrees of Kevin Stefanski.
We don't know. I wonder if these GMs and coaches that he's talking to are just putting themselves in Stefanski's shoes. It's not talking to Stefanski directly. It's just saying, if I was 5 years into being a head coach and seeing where this team is going, which right now looks like basically nowhere, would I be cool with just going back for a 6 year to go back for a 6 year when they have no plan to try to win big in that 6 year?
Well, and in the 6 year, your stock is better now than it is a year from now.
I mean, think about the jobs that could be open potentially. We don't know what's going to come open or not, but what if the Bengals fire Zach Taylor, for instance? You telling me Stefanski wouldn't love to coach Joe Burrow? That'd be his dream.
I mean, I think because the Browns, I actually think the Browns would have some power here because the coaching cycle ramps up right after Thanksgiving. And then they start to interview guys at the end of the season. But we know owners, GMs, all executives are talking to agents the whole time. So we were all pretty flabbergasted that Mike Vrabel, that the Titans had the ability to say, hey, if you want Mike Vrabel, make us an offer. And the ownership group was like, we thought it'd be too much work. That's literally why Mike Vrabel was allowed to walk and then become a consultant for the Browns, despite a year previously. If he had been let go 1 year previously, he would have been the most sought-after coaching candidate. Two bad years in a row did that for him. Feels comparable if Stefanski has another bad year next year. But it does make me wonder if this is true, and I'm going to continue to do that. I don't want to give this full weight because...
Which I think is right of you, by the way.
It's different than literally what anybody else is saying about this situation with Kevin Stefanski and the Browns. But... I could see the Browns telling everybody, we love Stefanski, we love our model. I could see that as part of a front to also say, if you are considering firing him at the end of the season or whatever, if somebody wants to talk to Kevin, all of a sudden there's a price. I could see that being part of a play here on top of, you really like the model you have with Kevin Stefanski. Is that too far of a reach?
So they're going to have to trade for Stefanski is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, because
what are we getting in return?
Definitely something.
Definitely. We'll find out how much Jimmy has. What was that structure?
Honestly, it could be anything from being best friends with Kevin Stefanski to having coffee with Kevin Stefanski in the parlance of Jason Lock and Fora saying some coaches and executives who know Kevin Stefanski think he'd be cool getting out of that cesspool now. So basically, whatever the gap is in the extremes on people who know Kevin Stefanski, same thing with what you could get for Kevin Stefanski in a trade.
Ah, those 10-minute Haslam conversations every day.
216-474-0092. I'm just curious what your reaction is to the Jason Lock and Fora piece on the Washington Post.
Like, we just never thought about this side of it, Nick. Like the idea of we're just so like, we got to fight for Stefanski to stay here. We never thought about the other side of it is what if Stefanski doesn't want us fighting for him to stay here?
If Stefanski wants out... Do you let him out? We're going to continue on with that, guys. Plus, we've got, Ross Tucker at 4. We've got so many guests right now, I'm struggling to remember them in real time. Brian Billick at 3. We got Pete Futek at 3:40. Ross Tucker at 4. Devin Bush, Browns linebacker at 4:40. Daryl Ryder at carry the 2. 6. We also have quick hits coming up in about 20 minutes here, but more on Stefanski. If Stefanski would want out, huge hypothetical, should the Browns let him out? 92.3 The Fan. On head coaches, head coaching candidates around the NFL, he does call Mike Vrabel a real possibility here if Kevin Stefanski is let go. And again, I think the timing of this is weird coming off the Pittsburgh win. I feel like if you had released this on the Monday after the Saints game, I think there would have been a large swath of fans being like, okay, bye. Like, but I think now, come off the Pittsburgh game, it died like half of the comments, because I posted it at Nick Wilson Says, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, because I couldn't believe this had not made the rounds yet for Browns fans.
Yeah.
And the immediate reaction is, one of two things. Cool, we get Vrabel, or bleep Lock and Fora. There's really no...
because the Stefanski scenario is not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. When half the fan base doesn't want Stefanski here anyway, I think half the fan base does, and I think half the fan base knows that he's a good head coach and knows what he can deliver. But if half the fan base doesn't like Stefanski as is, imagine the person you don't even want to date being like, "Oh no, I don't like you anyway."
I will say, if because again, you and I both said we're not putting both feet on this. Like we think that we like if we kind of believe that Jason does have a bias. That Jason has some sort of feeling, not about Kevin, but about the Browns organization. It relates back to the Deshaun thing. And that at points, that has come through in his reporting.
Yeah.
But if we were to indulge the idea, if Kevin, this is a rare case for me. If Kevin Stefanski doesn't want to be here, to me, it would be, okay, well, I appreciate your 5 years, but if you want to be out, I'm cool with that. And the only reason is, Mike Vrabel's my ace in the hole.
Yeah, I just don't think... Well, the hard part, though, is if Stefanski's the one sitting there saying, I think I'm too good to be with the Browns, and I think that I don't want to be here, etc., then why are we going to turn around and have Vrabel then be like, oh, sign me up, I want to be with the Browns, too?
I mean, I think... Well, because here's the thing, I think
aside
sometimes...
Aside of him being from here connection.
I mean, I don't think this situation is as toxic as it's been in previous iterations. Like, there were 100% times... In the 17 different head coaching or GM hirings from 99 to 2020, there were 100% of times where the situation stopped you from getting even quality candidates. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Well, I think there's a lot more quality candidates in general out there these days. Like I just don't think – I think any team, if you're hiring a new head coach – you're probably hiring somebody that has experience more times than not. Like we're kind of done.
Are we back in the retread cycle?
Yeah, we're kind of done with the. I think there was a 3-4 year stretch where everyone was hiring McVay, and then everyone that was associated with McVay. That's Taylor. That's LaFleur. That's O'Connell. That's all those guys. And really, Stefanski is not associated with McVay, but he is of that same idea where it's like young whiz offensive coordinator for a season gets an opportunity. And Ben Johnson gets brought up. Bobby Slowick was being brought up before the Houston Texans kind of went down the hill here with C.J. Stroud. Like, I think we're out of those guys. I think now we're with a lot of guys that's like they've been there, they've done that. Because we've been firing coaches the entire stretch of the way at the same rate.
So
it's like Belichick is a free agent for all. I mean, like, what are we doing?
So I do think what's interesting about this with Vrabel, I think there are three things that I thought of. Because you asked a very direct question, which is, why would Vrabel want to be in? One, we assume that him watching what's happened this year gives him a negative thought of the Browns and how they run things and not Kevin Stefanski. He could look here and go, well, again, I know I'm not allowed to use the word culture ever again because I haven't taken my culture pills,
yeah.
But I do think he could look at this and go, Kevin's a good coach, but maybe he's not the right guy for this locker room or not the right guy for the situation. Two, we don't know his relationship with Jimmy Haslam, which is, I think there have been a couple reports out there. It's certainly something that, if you're plugged in at all, I think Jimmy likes Mike. I think there's a good thing there from anything that anybody's put out there, that there's a respect there between the two men. And then three, how badly do you want to be the Browns head coach? I do think that last one goes into the favor of this specific spot more than maybe if it was like, hey, I'm from Tucson, Arizona, and right. I can be the Raiders head coach.
But Vrabel is the bell of the ball this offseason, so I just don't think it's as much of a shoe-in like, oh, it's Vrabel, and that's our decision, and that's like, no, it's not. I don't think it would work that simple. I think we'd have to really sell Vrabel on the idea. I don't think we'd be like, Vrabel, we choose you, and you got the final rose, and he's like, oh, thank you, I'm so happy. I think it'd be a real hard sell. We'd have to sell.
I actually think this is I think this is a tough pool of candidates, because I think Ben Johnson is still going to be one of the favorites out there. Pete Carroll is the odds-on favorite right now to get the Jets job. Belichick is obviously out there. Like, I actually think there's... Now, in fairness, you have to be one of the five best jobs, because there are five really good candidates. Aaron Glenn, I need to make sure I mention his name as well, former Browns defensive back coach. But yeah, I mean, I think there's five really good candidates. So I think if you're the Browns, it is... If we're part of that five, then we have as good a chance to get Vrabel as anybody else because those other people might prefer somebody else.
I mean, if you're competing with the Raiders, let's say, and the Raiders have the number one or number two overall draft pick, you get to choose your quarterback, and you get to go ahead and then start something brand new, clean slate, right off the rip. I think the Raiders as a franchise is a disaster, so I bring them up intentionally. Would you rather have a spot where you get to choose your quarterback and then go off with a young rookie quarterback, or the Browns where right now we're talking about can Jameis be a bridge, or do we have a stopgap and we don't even know when we're going to have a future quarterback?
Given that one team was in the playoffs last year and the other's been a dumpster fire and their owner's got a weird haircut, I'd probably take the
weird
the
haircut
Browns.
It
was the kicker, yeah.
I think the Raiders were in the playoffs 2 years ago. It's not like a crazy long time.
Zach brings up a good point on Twitter saying that's why he signed an extension 4 months ago to escape the cesspool. I don't think we should assume the last 4 months haven't changed things.
Well, also, the signing the extension was just smart business by Stefanski.
Yeah. You sign it thinking, I might end up getting 2 free years here of working for nothing. Or, sorry, not working for a significant amount of money. I mean, I think it's a fair point. I do think it's a fair point. But that's under the assumption that the last 4 months haven't changed the way Kevin feels about how the situation works in Berea.
Well, and also you never knew what was going to happen with Deshaun either. Maybe he really thought Deshaun was something.
216-474-0092. Jason Lockenfora put this out earlier this week that some coaches and executives who know Stefanski think that he'd be cool getting out of that cesspool now. God, what a drama queen. Being home for the holidays and getting to prepare for future interviews elsewhere. If Stefanski did want out, we agree that we're not putting all in on everything Jason's saying here, but if Stefanski wanted out, would you be okay if the Browns let him out? More on that later in the show. We got quick hits next on 92.3 The Fan. Brian Billick coming up in about 20 minutes here. Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. You guys, again, can read the Jason Lockenfora post about Mike Vrabel's candidacy around the NFL, maybe in Cleveland, and what that could mean for Kevin Stefanski, at Nick Wilson says, as we spent the first couple segments talking about that. We'll get back to that later in the show, maybe ask a guest or two about it as well. But it's time for quick hits. And JP, we get started with college basketball is back, but UConn's Dan Hurley isn't the only college basketball figure exploding in anger. Cleveland's own and Fox College basketball analyst and play-by-play man John Fanta met force with force on Twitter Spaces on a convo when a
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Listener challenged him earlier this week.
I've seen the media bias in Xavier's favor for the last several years. And now,
yeah, they've been a better program. They've kicked Cincinnati's butt. They've been a better program by a wide margin. Frankly, Cincinnati, we've been waiting for this version of Cincinnati. Cincinnati's been their butts have been kicked. You're using the past couple of years. No. You're using the past couple of years. That's your argument? Xavier's been better than Cincinnati in every facet. There's a media bias. I go off score. The scores of the game were Xavier over Cincinnati. Want to add, tell me about how I feel about stuff. I don't lose sleep over where I rank a team. I lose sleep over whether I took the trash out on time, whether I picked up the right groceries for my wife, if I'm taking care of her right now, and the Cleveland Browns. I didn't lose any sleep over them, Adam, but I might lose sleep because of you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Johnny. Go Browns.
No, you don't get to salvage the call. Kyle, go ahead.
All right. Did John Fanta go too far?
Never. Not so. No such thing. I love unhinged Fanta.
I think I do too. I think you should have just let him end the call on a night note. I like he tried to end it on a hey, go Browns. No.
99.9% of people would have been like, all right, maybe I lost my cool there. All right, go ahead. And he's like, no, you're not salvaging this.
I mean, John is too successful this. He could be our Mad Dog Russo. We could just call him up once a week and just be like, what really pisses you off right now? And he could just go, da, 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 da. That's basically my Chris Mad Dog.
Also, what are the wrong groceries that he's picking up? He's like, I'm concerned about picking up the right groceries. What are the wrong groceries?
Also, here's the thing. If you don't put the trash out, you know, put the trash out on time. It's okay.
No, that's a pain.
It comes again next week.
I got no room. If I fill it up, I fill it up in a week.
That's why you gotta have a transfer station like us down in Wadsworth. Yeah.
A transfer station.
Yeah, like if you have too much trash, you can just take it down to where they like take the trash out.
That would involve me taking the trash out of my dumpster, then to go ahead and transport it to the transfer station.
Well, no, this is the overflow. I just throw it in the back of my truck, and my daughter Izzy loves going with me. Then we throw the trash into like the compactor. A lot of fun.
Yeah, maybe for you.
I live a better life.
Omaha! Again, that's all your own opinion, and that's fine. Baker Mayfield is suing his father's companies, which is run by his dad and his brother, for $11.7 million in a settlement agreement here. He gave the money to his dad and the company. They then had settled the lawsuit. They agreed to make the payments. His dad and his brother, they paid nothing, is the point here. At what point would you sue your own blood for money recouped?
Probably about $11.4 million.
Okay, so you're right. You're right in line with it. It's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I felt so bad for Baker because, again, like it was taken, at least according to the lawsuit, it was taken without his knowledge. So his money literally stolen from him by family. He had to sue to get it back, and then his family agreed to pay back and then never started doing it. Like, that's a level of dishonesty. There are like four violations of honesty with family. Like, and the absolute worst thing, sometimes it's the best thing for you, is to have to cut off family. I just want to give Baker like a big bro hug. Like, man, I'm sorry. There's just no way to polish this one.
I mean, cutting off your dad, cutting off your brother. Like, you become successful so you can prop up those people, right? Like,
Have you ever been estranged? Have you ever cut somebody out for like a small amount of time?
No, it's not me.
Yeah, there was a year I didn't talk to my sister.
Yeah, it's not me.
It crossed a line with my wife, and it was rough. Now I think I
problem solve. I get down to the bottom of it, even if it gets ugly.
Yeah,
I got to.
My problem solving is I'm going to tell you exactly what I think, and then I'm going to tell you I'm not talking to you for a while, and then you'll be lucky when I talk back to you again.
Oh, yeah, I don't work that way. I work in the way of I won't be able to sleep until I get this right. Like, I can't go to sleep without getting something right. So like I have to make sure we're cool. If I think there's a problem, I freak out.
For me, it's more I can't go to sleep if I feel like somebody I love who I feel protective of, for instance, my wife, If I feel like she's not taken care of and made whole, that's when I have. My sister and I have never had a better relationship, so we're doing great now.
Well, after she stole $11 million from you, I mean, it's nice that you guys could rebound.
I just really would have loved to have $1 million. Omaha. We haven't even watched the 12-team college football playoff yet, and there are already complaints. Way too many damn complaints, by the way. But Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt tweeting out earlier this week that giving conference champions the bye regardless of ranking makes the fifth seed more attractive than the one seed. He argued for receding after the first round so the number one seed gets the most favorable of all the matchups. Is he on to something or is he on drugs?
No, he's on to something. It's something I can't wait to ask Pete Futek about because Pete's always on the cutting edge of this type of stuff. When you look at the actual path, and I looked at it last night, why is it that the bracket's set up as of right now where you'd rather be Ohio State than you would be Oregon?
You wouldn't.
In this iteration, the Buckeyes are on a collision course to face Oregon in the semis, and if you look at it, Oregon would be taking on Georgia in the second round, might not even make it to Ohio State. Ohio State is a much easier path as the five seed.
I disagree. I think he's on drugs. I think complaining about this ahead of time is wild. It's almost as bad.
Well, it's not going to actually end up being this, and maybe that's the problem with complaining about it. Is that the problem? That's not going to actually end up being it?
It's like coming up with an abstract SEC hypothetical where they somehow get jobbed in this process when all they are is a bunch of three-loss teams. Like, stop trying to defend the SEC. It's a down year for the conference. That's fine, but we don't have to bend the parameters because this is the one time in 30 years where the conference sucks. Felt good. Very good.
Yeah, I just think you're wrong here because Ohio State takes on Boise State, where Georgia then takes on Oregon. So Oregon as the one seed has to match up with Georgia, while Ohio State gets Boise State. Like, it's just not. It's a million times harder for Oregon.
Coincidentally, I also think you're wrong.
That's how that works. Omaha! Oh, I can't wait to see what Pete Futek thinks about that one later on.
All right. Spicy meatball.
Blake Snell has agreed to a five-year deal with the Dodgers. Snell posted a photo of himself in the Dodgers uniform on Instagram, and now we have all the details, the financials, everything set with this. The rotation for the Dodgers is going to get unreal. Ohtani or no Ohtani, it's going to look pretty intense here, Nick. The rich get richer.
Yeah, I'm very surprised. I thought baseball was fair and balanced. Do you know why this actually? No, do you actually know why this might actually lead
to
change?
182 million for those keeping score at home.
I've been working on this. I've been espousing this theory for a minute.
Yeah.
The New York Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Mets, they don't care when it's 7 against 23. They don't. And usually it's actually about 10 against 20. It's 10 haves and 20 have-nots. Now there's levels within the haves that are starting to, like, the Yankees are not accustomed to being a have-not within the haves. And I think when you start to get to the Mets and the Yankees, when the Dodgers are the anomaly and more teams of the alleged haves or have-nots, I think that could actually, like, produce some sort of meaningful change, especially as baseball TV contracts start to peter out and look in a different way.
Well, it's all about the TV contracts, and the Dodgers have the last great local TV contract. But if you look at the rotation, and hell, I don't know, does this take them? This doesn't even take them out of the Juan Soto sweepstakes.
No, it doesn't.
And which
again,
is wild.
Like that, you need the super team of all super teams, and it might get you the change you want. The problem is, it could be a five-year period where the Dodgers are the only thing close to winning a title because they have Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Juan Soto, Blake Snell, Glasnow. I mean, everybody else under the sun.
Yeah, the rotation right now would be Snell, Ohtani, Yamamoto, Glasnow. And then you go from there. Dustin May thrown in the mix, too.
I mean, a bunch of scrubs after those first seven starters who are Cy Young guys.
Omaha!
A big week for Sooners coach Brent Venables as his team put a whooping on Alabama. Might have saved his job.
Alabama!
24-3 in Norman. And then, according to the coach himself, him and his daughter spent $94 at a popular Mexican fast food joint who we're not going to give free advertising
wait,
to.
Wait, him and his daughter spent $94? Is that what you said?
Yes. And you know exactly the popular Mexican fast food. What?
Yeah, no, I know. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, because Mac was giving me a look.
It gets expensive. Mac just gives looks to people. It's okay. He's trying to keep you in check.
Does that number sound right to you?
No,
I don't need to know how many daughters he has.
I don't know how it's pop. I don't know how it's possible. Now remember, what was the challenge previously with this this establishment? It was like, can you spend $25 or so? There's some politician or someone that spent $25 on a Taco Bell order. Dump it. I couldn't make it through the segment.
Yes.
Couldn't make it through.
Yeah,
I found myself easily doing that.
Wait. It's Brent Venables and two. So basically, Brent Venables went full fat ass, and his daughters were just in the car. I've done this. There's no shame here. I'm going to order a lot of food for everyone, and I am everyone. Also, girls, here's a cheesy gordita crunch. Here's yours. Here's all of mine.
Do you look at the cost of the menu when you go, or do you just order?
Depends. If it's fast food, though, Daddy just orders.
You just order.
Yeah.
That's how I know you're doing well in life. Yeah. When you just roll up just order, that's how I know you're doing well.
When I do that at a high-end restaurant, I still get the cold sweats. When I sit down at a steak joint and I'm like, price.
Spoiler alert, though.
Means.
The fast food restaurants are just as expensive as the actual restaurants these days.
No, sir. No, $94 is the run of a good steak. At like a high end joint.
High end is different than just regular restaurants, though. Fast food restaurants have never been more expensive than they are right now.
It's pretty ridiculous. Make fast food faster and cheaper again.
Got to use the apps.
But
the apps are key there.
Also very edible. We don't want it to be less edible. We like the level of edible it is right now. Brian Billick, former Super Bowl winning coach, joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on are the Chiefs for certain to repeat this year. We'll also get his thoughts on the Stefanski might be tired of Cleveland thing next on 92.3 The Fan.